Ephesians in chapter 6. For several weeks now, we've been dealing with spiritual warfare in which each of us as believers in Christ are involved. We, if you will remember, we began by noticing some of the tactics that Satan uses against us, and then we began looking at the armor that God has provided for our protection. And so in verse 11 and verse number 13, let's read it again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, so far as we have come through our study of this passage, we have seen three pieces of equipment that God has provided. You remember we began with the belt of truth. That was number one. The belt of truth. And we saw that belt defined for us. It's simply the Word of God. And you remember we also saw that belt explained, how that not only is that the foundation of everything we believe, but it's also the anchor point for all of the other pieces of equipment that our God has provided for us, the belt of truth. And then you remember number two, we saw the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And we saw that this is actually the life of righteousness that we put on as we obediently live out the principles and we obediently live out the precepts of God's Word in our daily life. Then in our study together last time, you remember we saw the boots of peace. The boots of peace. And we noted that this is plural. And the reason why it's plural is because all good soldiers have two feet, right? Now, all good soldiers have two feet. So they need boot, not a boot. They need boots. And so we saw those two boots identified. The gospel of peace. And we saw how that first of all, there is provision for the left foot, which is peace with God. Peace with God. This boot is put on when we put our faith and trust in Christ for the salvation of our soul. However, as good soldiers, we're not expected to hop around on one foot. We have another foot. And so on the right foot, we saw, is the boot of peace of God. Peace with God on the left foot. The peace of God on the right foot. And you remember we saw that this is the peace that we get. This is the peace that we obtain when we pray, that is, when we talk to our Heavenly Father. When we meditate, that's when we allow Him to speak to us through His Word. And then when we obey, that is, when we do the things that He has commanded us to do. And when we have on the boots of peace, those boots of the gospel of peace, then we're prepared. Then we're ready to do whatever it is that our God may call us to do. We're ready to go wherever He may call us to go when we have on the boots of the gospel of peace. Well, now we come to the fourth thing that God has provided for us, and that is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now, I enjoy watching the National Geographic documentaries about animals or Animal Planet, that kind of thing. And many times they will show a group of scientists who are wanting to examine, for example, a lion, you know. And so they'll get a table out there and they'll say, okay, come here, kitty cat, jump up here on the table and lay down and open your mouth real wide and go, ah. And then they'll get their head and they'll look in the lion's mouth, right? No, they only tried that one time and it didn't work out very well. No, that's not what they do. What they'll do is they'll take what's called a tranquilizer gun, right? And they'll put a dart in that tranquilizer gun, and not a bullet. They don't want to kill the animal. But they'll put this dart in the gun, and they'll shoot it with that tranquilizer dart so that the animal is immobilized. He can't move. He's immobilized. And then they'll run in real quick. They'll do whatever it is they want to do. And of course, they have to act quickly because when the animal wakes up, as Steve Irwin used to say, he's just a little bit grumpy. Okay? And so they have to work fast. And they go in, they do what it is they want to do before he recovers from the drug that was administered through the dart. Now, the reason I mentioned that this morning, or this evening, is because as Christians, Satan cannot kill us, right? We have eternal life. Satan cannot kill us, but he does have the power to immobilize us. He does have the power to work in our lives in such a way that he effectively paralyzes us in our service and in our obedience for God. And so that's why the Apostle Paul said in verse 16 of our text, notice what he said. He said, above all. You kind of get the idea. This is a pretty important piece of armor, right? Above, okay, we talked about the belt of truth and we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about those boots, the gospel of peace, but above all, okay? So this one is really important. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, as we consider this shield of faith together this evening, there are three things that I want us to notice about this shield that God has provided for us. Letter A in your notes there, I want us to notice, first of all, how it is designed. How it is designed. Now the shield was a very important part of the armor that was carried by Roman soldiers back in biblical times. And there were basically two types of shields that would be employed in a time of battle. For example, one of those shields was a small round shield. A small round shield that was secured to the soldier's arm, and he could use that then to parry any blow that an enemy might launch toward him. It was small, it was lightweight. Primarily, this was the shield that was used in hand-to-hand combat. Okay? Hand-to-hand combat. But then there was another type of shield, and it was a big shield. It was a big shield. In fact, that's the shield that's referred to in our text. It's a big shield. The Greek word that is used here is thurios, and it actually comes from a Greek root word which means a door. So it's a big shield, and so this thurios or this shield was actually a large door shaped shield that would measure. It measured about 4 feet tall and about 2.5 feet wide. It was designed to protect the whole body. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to protect the whole body from the arrows or from the javelins that an enemy might launch at them. It was made from a solid piece of wood that was covered with a layer of either metal, or it was covered with a layer of heavy leather. And this was simply because of the fact that when they went into war and flaming arrows would be launched at them, the metal covering on their shield would cause the arrow to bounce away. And it would deflect it away from them. If their shield was covered with a heavy leather, then the arrow, the flaming arrow, would sink into the leather and it would extinguish the flame. And so they would be protected in that way. In fact, I've read that during battles, these great shields would often bristle with smoking arrows like porcupines. In other words, they just had arrows stuck all over the place, and they were burning. This shield was also curved just a little bit. It had a slight curve to it along the length of both sides, and that was in order to provide a bit of protection for the side of the soldier. Now the shield, again, was one of the most important pieces of armor possessed by a Roman soldier. In fact, when they went into battle, the front rank, of the soldiers, sometimes they would stretch as far as 1.5 kilometers across the front rank, a huge rank of soldiers. And as they were marching in, they would put their shields side by side and literally create a wall, you know. And then in the second rank and third rank, those soldiers would come up and they would raise their shields up over their heads. And so you had a wall that was moving forward pretty much like a turtle or a tortoise. They're covered with a shell in the front, shell on the top, so that any arrows that were launched at them would not be able to reach the soldiers. Now this clearly illustrates for us. It clearly illustrates how that as a church, we're to stand together. One soldier, even if he has a big shield, if one soldier is out on the battlefield by himself, he's not going to last very long. Right? And so, but standing shoulder to shoulder, there is a safety that is there. There's a provision of protection that is given. How foolish it is for a soldier of Jesus Christ to go out into the world without the support, the companionship, the camaraderie of a good church standing with him. Very important. Very important. So we see this shield. We see it defined. Now I want us to notice the second thing. I want you to notice how it's described. It is called the shield of faith. It's called the shield of faith. The faith the Apostle Paul refers to here is not the body of Christian belief. You know, many times when we talk about, well, you know, we're going to stand for the faith. And what that means is we're going to stand for the Word of God, right? But that's not the idea that he has in mind here. In other words, he's not referring to the doctrines that we believe. The text is simply referring to our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Our faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, our complete and our total dependence upon God. In fact, without that kind of faith, remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it's impossible for us to please God. And so therefore, someone has well noted that faith is a necessary, non-negotiable component of the Christian life. It is impossible for us to be victorious without that shield of faith. You see, the Bible declares a couple of things about faith. First of all, it declares, number one, that we are saved by faith, right? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But not only are we saved by faith, we need to also understand that we are victorious by faith. We're victorious by faith. Listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and verse number 5. Here's what he said. He said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our," what's the word? "Faith." This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And the reason why we are victorious over the world is simply because the shield of faith, faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that shield of faith protects us from the fiery darts that Satan would seek to launch against us. But we must not forget that our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. Our faith is only as good as the object of our... In other words, just like in the matter of salvation, our victory is only assured when our faith is resting in the right person. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice a third thing about this shield, and that is how it is deployed. How it is deployed. Now we've already alluded to the fact that in olden days, fiery darts were actually flaming arrows that would be launched from a bow. And the Roman soldiers would wrap the tips of their arrows. They would wrap the tips of arrows with a piece of cloth, and then they would soak that in pitch. And then they would set it on fire, and then they would shoot it like a flaming torch. They would shoot it out toward the enemy. And when the enemy or when the arrow hit the target, even though it may not hit a person, even if it hit the shield, that flaming pitch that was wrapped around the head of the arrow, it would sort of scatter and spread out, and that pitch would stick to a person and cause severe burns. When I was in Vietnam, we had some things we called napalm bombs. And when those things would come in, maybe you've seen videos, they would literally just put a ball of fire across the earth. And everything that was in line with that, not only the flames, but that napalm would stick to them, and you try to wipe it off, and all you did was spread the fire. You spread the burn, you see. And that's exactly what these Romans did with their arrows and their burning arrows that they would fire. Terrible injuries would be caused. Terrible destruction of equipment or gear would be caused. But we need to understand that when it comes to our enemy, he has some fiery darts. He has some fiery darts that he loves to launch at the people of God. Fiery darts that he uses against you and against me. And so I want us to notice these fiery darts, and as we mention them, I think we'll find that these fiery darts can actually be divided into three categories. First of all, there are those fiery darts that would be categorized as fears. Fears. I've read a tragic statistic. We're doing a soul winning class on Tuesday night in our School of Theology, and in going over some things in that, I came across a statistic that said that 95% of all Christians will never do what Brother David did at the Hawker tonight. 95% of all Christians will never personally seek to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ. 95%. And according to Leighton Ford, back in 1979, they did a survey for Decision Magazine. And in that survey that was taken at a Billy Graham crusade in southeastern Michigan, the question was asked, what is the greatest hindrance that you face in witnessing? What is the greatest hindrance you face in sharing your faith with somebody else? Over 51% of the people surveyed said their greatest hindrance was fear. Just afraid. Afraid of what somebody might say, afraid of what somebody might do, afraid of what somebody might think about them, just afraid. And so they're silent. They're silent. See, that's a fiery dart Satan uses. It immobilizes us. It keeps us from doing what we ought to do for God. This thing called fear. There's another fiery dart that Satan will use, and we can categorize that one as doubts. Doubts. In other words, things that make us to be unwilling to trust God. Think about it in your own life. What is it in your life that hinders you from really trusting God with everything? Just think about it. See, those are fiery darts of doubt. Fiery darts of doubt. We refuse to follow His Word. We refuse to obey His commandments. We refuse to yield ourselves to His control because we doubt. In other words, we somehow have it in our mind that more than God, I know what's best for my life. That's kind of a foolish position to take, isn't it? And yet many times that's the decision we take. It's amazing thing that we trust God with the eternal salvation of our soul, but we will not trust Him with our decisions for tomorrow. Fiery dart. Fiery darts of fear, the fiery darts of doubt, and then there's some other fiery darts that would fit under the category of fiery darts of temptation. The fiery darts of temptation. In other words, those things that would pull us away from God. Things that would pull us away from where we ought to be. That's the very thing the Apostle Peter was talking about when he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul." You see, the enemy, that's Satan, he continually launches at us his burning arrows of immorality, his burning arrows of hatred, those fiery darts of envy and anger and covetousness and fear and despair and distrust and doubt and pride and every other conceivable sin that you can ever imagine. And those fiery darts of temptation have the potential to inflict great damage on our lives because all of us have certain lusts that are so easily ignited into a roaring flame, don't we? We all do. We all do. But the shield of faith has the power to quench all of Satan's fiery darts. So why is it that so many times those fiery darts will find their target and we find ourselves to be wounded? If that shield of faith is as protective as the Bible says, then why are we wounded so many times by those fiery darts? It's not a real hard answer to figure out. The reason is simply because we don't use the shield. That's why we get wounded. We don't use the provision that God has made for us. So how do we take up the shield? How do we arm ourselves with that shield and allow it to become an effective protector to keep us from that enemy who would seek to destroy us? And the answer to that question is found when we go back to Romans 10:17. And here's what it says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you see. You see, the Word of God, the truth of God, is what we must have if we would see the fiery darts of our enemy quenched. Let me give you a couple of scriptures very quickly. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and verse 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not to His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Psalm 18, verse number 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. Now, that word buckler, that's just another word for shield. He is a buckler. He is a shield to all those that trust in Him. Did you catch it? Did you see what those verses just told us? When we take up the Word of God, and when we believe what God has said by faith, then God Himself becomes our shield. Did you catch that? God Himself becomes our shield. The shield of faith that God has provided for our spiritual protection will keep the arrows of the wicked one from finding their mark and causing us to fall into sin. But there's one final thought that I want to mention before we leave this, and that's this. Even though the Roman soldiers had a shield that was large and it would protect them from the fiery darts of the enemy, there were times when they would die on the battlefield. There were times when even the great Roman machine would face defeats. And those Roman soldiers would die on the battlefield. And we know from history that when Roman soldiers died on the battlefield, it was the custom that those who had been slain in battle would be ceremoniously carried off of the field of battle, and they would be carried on their shield, that big door. And they would put them there, and like a stretcher, they would carry the fallen off of the field of battle. Now here's the application. Even though the shield of faith can protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, we need to understand sin and the consequence of sin, which is death, is ultimately going to claim all of us, right? That's why the Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. All of us are going to die unless Jesus comes. And I like what we sang tonight. I'm a coward. I would rather go in the rapture than go by death. Okay, I like what you said about that. But here's the fact. Here's the fact. Even though this physical body may fall in death, our eternal soul will be carried off of this battlefield on a shield of faith and will go to be with the Lord, you see. Be carried off the battlefield and carried into the presence of our Lord. This shield of faith, oh, what a wonderful piece of armor it is that God has provided for us. Now the question is, are you using it? May God help that to be so. Lord, we thank You tonight.